You gonna have a separate porn viewer? Maybe we've got something there.
Yeah.
The Hey You Know It porn viewer. It could kind of be like a Kindle.
Yeah.
Right. But just for porn. Welcome to Hey You Know It. I'm Jaquetta Sott-Murray, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Casimir.
And this is our Happy Thanksgiving Day pre-Thanksgiving. Hey You Didn't Know. Oh, f*** me.
You didn't know it.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Happy Thanksgiving.
Cornucopia of good stuff to you.
Yeah, coming your way. Yes, I started doing my research, but of course I just Googled Thanksgiving.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So nice and general.
Well, I want to keep it, you know, broad, to cast a wide net, as it were. And the first interesting thing that came up was a little piece I saw, because everyone's talking about Occupy Wall Street, and now everything's Occupy everything. Yeah. Everything.
Occupy, Hey You Know It.
Yeah, or Occupy Sales.
Yeah.
Occupy. So this is, don't let Christmas occupy Thanksgiving.
No.
So, you know, for every holiday we have, there's always people who want to save that holiday because that holiday is perennially under threat by, I don't know, pagans, immigrants, the future, aliens, whatever. So this guy.
Zombies.
Has a Respect the Bird campaign.
What?
On Facebook.
Respect the bird.
It sounds sexual,
yeah.
Frankly, to me. Or it's like some frat boy. He's like, come on, man, respect the bird.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of thing.
Right.
So this guy's going to save Thanksgiving because they feel that Christmas is encroaching upon Thanksgiving. Now, this is Christmas attacking Thanksgiving.
Of course, as it does.
As it tends to do. So basically what this guy is saying is that I really thought Christmas started too early last year when I urged everyone to respect the bird in a blog post. As it turns out, a great many people here thought the same thing. Hundreds commented, saying the holidays are blending into each other like ingredients in a smoothie. Now, I like the idea of a holiday season.
Yeah,
It started Halloween.
Yeah.
And it goes all the way through to New Year's, right?
Yeah, but this isn't a new complaint. This has been going on forever. It's been ever since we have Thanksgiving and Christmas. Like, different presidents tried to change it around to give, like, the Christmas season a longer season.
Mm-hmm.
And people freaked out. No, Thanksgiving has to be the fourth, I think, Thursday. Not the third, or whatever the hell it is.
I heard the original Thanksgiving was, like, on November 8th.
November 8th.
Which is just way too far away from Christmas, I guess, for our modern liking.
Right.
So this guy has a blog, and he says, look, people should, instead of, because the whole Black Friday thing. So he's saying that basically people rush through Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
or people work on Thanksgiving, which happens at a lot of stores.
Yeah.
And then the whole push is to get to Black Friday.
Right.
So this year you should rebuke all that. Do not fuel our sagging economy.
Mm-hmm.
Respect the bird. And spend, you know, really celebrate Thanksgiving. And he says at the end of his thing, Thanksgiving is inclusive, a holiday for everyone, whether their arrival to the United States was via the Mayflower, Ellis Island, an international airport, or any other way. They left out in chains in the bottom of a boat.
Yeah, no kidding. And also, you know, Thomas Jefferson opposed the idea of Thanksgiving altogether because
really?
It was about the hardships of the pilgrims and there was a lot of death involved.
Yes.
And it would be like the equivalent now of us doing Patriot Day and taking a day off and having a big celebration and being thankful for, you know, so they were like, hey, man, this was a very
traumatic
thing about death.
Yeah.
And you want to celebrate it with a big meal? Nice.
That is kind of weird. I guess in that time they had a less romantic perspective of it. I found something here about the Pilgrim's First Thanksgiving, another point of view. And apparently the story is that there was a Native American who had gone to England. He had gone to England and he came back where he was like promptly caught by a slave trader.
Oh right, then, Squanto. Yeah. It was Squanto
and
who
then,
was like having adventures.
Yes.
That's what I have down here too.
And he was sold to the Spanish or the Caribbean island. Then a Franciscan priest bought him and helped him to get away.
But I gotta say, Squanto was just like hanging out, and then this explorer came by, and he was super friendly,
mm-hmm.
and they became friends and went back to England.
Hey, take a ride on my boat.
Yeah, and they had adventures, but the explorer was cool
yeah.
and showed him everything, you know, and they traded
Well, this is the problem. I think the Squanto thought that Explorer was cool, so he neglected to, like, raise the red flag for his brother when he got back to the mainland that it was not going to be good when these people showed up.
Well, Squanto thought he was special. He was like...
That's right. He was a house Native American. apparently, though, when he returned to his village, he met up with another dude called Samoset.
Uh-huh.
And they were just hanging out together, you know, happy as Larry, happy as a clam. And then they saw the pilgrims coming.
Yeah.
And once again, they didn't raise the red flag. They weren't like, everybody run.
Yeah.
Because this is not going to be a good thing. And he taught them how to survive.
Yeah, because all the seeds and things they brought would not flourish in this environment.
So he taught them how to survive, which was, I mean, probably seemed like a good gesture, but would come back to bite him and his Native American butt. In a big way, and everybody else's. So they're saying for the first Thanksgiving, Miles Standish said, come on to the Native Americans, bring your families. And like a buttload of people showed up and they didn't have enough food.
Way too many.
Classic. It's a classic Puritan move.
Yeah. They didn't really mean it. They didn't really want to invite
them.
They didn't understand.
The Native Americans probably thought, yeah, we'll bring everybody. Yeah. And they've meant like, don't come at all, actually.
Yeah, they were just like, oh, we're being polite. Yeah, no, it's like, I'll call you tomorrow.
Yeah, they were saying basically, you're savages. And you probably don't even understand what an invitation is, but we're going to extend it. We don't expect you to show up.
Yeah.
And then, pow, 80 people show up. Then the Native Americans have to go back to their own village and get food.
Yeah, it's like, by the way, it was a bring your own.
Yeah, no one told you.
Covered dish, everybody.
So here's what I love about the article that I found. It says, in the written text of the Thanksgiving sermon delivered at Plymouth in 1623 by Mather the Elder, he gave
Mather the Elder. Yes, Mather. Oh, you know, I don't like that.
He gave thanks to God for the devastating plague of smallpox, which wiped out the majority of the Wampanoag Indians who had befriended earlier pilgrims.
He said this in front of the Indians?
This is his sermon. No, this is
the
not
Native American
in front of
Indians?
The Native
Sorry.
Americans were not allowed in the church. He praised God for, quote, unquote, destroying chiefly young men and children, the very seeds of increase, thus clearing the forest to make way for better growth. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. How crazy. In a sermon, this was said.
Yeah.
So, there, I mean, how crazy is that? This Squanto guy, he did not do his people a solid. I think poor Squanto, like, his legacy will not go down well. He should have raised the red flag and been like, they're coming, get ready.
He had issues that he just wanted to be liked by everybody.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, he was probably gallivanting around, you know, in England and being taken to parties as a token, but probably thinking, like, oh, this is great.
Oh, they love me.
Yeah, and these white ladies, they're something else. They have no morals whatsoever. What a nightmare. So, happy Thanksgiving. America. What are your Thanksgiving plans? I'm a Thanksgiving hater, I have to say.
I'm not looking forward to this Thanksgiving at all. I'm tired. I'm not cooking anything. I'm going to the store and buying a pie or something.
We're doing Lobster Fest.
Oh, Lobster Fest, right.
Which is soon to be an African-American, Greek-American family custom, I guess.
Yes.
Of going to Chinatown and buying as many lobsters as we can. And preparing said lobsters in as many ways as possible. I love to eat lobster, and I have never prepared one. But I don't want to be a hypocrite who will eat something but can't kill it.
Can't kill it. Yeah, that's good. Well, lobsters probably were at the first Thanksgiving.
You think
probably,
so?
Yeah. Massachusetts?
That's
where you get your lobster.
Yeah. But I can imagine Native Americans thinking that lobsters are the dirty bugs that they are and not eating them. They're really gross when you think about it.
They crawl around the floor.
Look like
the ocean.
A louse.
A giant lice.
They are giant lice. They are the lice of the sea, but they are good eaten.
Yes, they're delicious.
Let me tell you. We went up to Massachusetts last weekend for my husband's 20th high school reunion.
Oh.
Let me tell you, if you have a chance to go to someone else's high school reunion, go. I had a blast. I made friends.
Really?
I was more popular there than I was in high school, and I didn't even know these people. I had a fun time. I met a lovely gay man.
Oh.
I got Facebook connections with people. It was fun.
That's
so
good.
You should not go to your own high school reunion.
You should go to somebody else's.
Did you
put on a badge that was maybe somebody else didn't pick it up yet and you pretended you were somebody from
that
high school?
No, I asked when I got there, I said, were there any black women in your class? Because they're going to think, wow, she's changed.
Yeah, right.
But there were plenty of spouses there.
Uh-huh.
And other significant others of, you know, all stripes. And it was just much more fun because I don't know those people.
Oh, funniest thing happened. The boyfriend of a classmate who did not go to our school, obviously, picked up somebody else's badge and put it on it and came up to me and tried to pretend he was...
Did it work?
No, of course not. I pretended that I thought he was.
Touché!
I was like, I can't believe what you did to me. How you stood me up after you. We had sex.
Yeah.
We had sex and you did... I can't believe it.
You should have been like, we have a kid. Damn it.
Oh, but I went on and on until he was like, no, I'm really sorry. Oh,
nice. That's awesome.
It was so much fun.
I have to say that the best part is I drank a lot.
Yeah?
But without any fear of embarrassing myself, because once again, not my high school reunion.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. I threw up at mine.
Well, that's classic.
I did too many shots.
Really?
And, yeah.
What was the music selection? I was a little offended, because some of the music, I was like, hey, I'm not that old.
I can't wait to go back into a few decades. I'm like, what are you doing?
I am that old, because... The little ditty about Jack and Diane hit home.
Oh, no.
When it came on. The Bon Jovi, I was like, that's like 20 years old.
Well, speaking of music, I went to see Rock of Ages.
Oh, how was it?
It was a lot of fun if you're into 80s hair metal.
Were you?
And drinking. If you like those things together, then you'll have a great time.
I'm sorry. Is there such a thing as one without the other, I feel like?
Well, I don't know. It's everybody that, you know, basically grew up in the 80s was enjoying themselves and singing along with the music and doing the porn.
The devil sign.
The devil
yeah.
sign. A woman sitting near me was probably on ecstasy, I guess, and grabbed me at the end during the curtain call. She's like, oh, this was great. I can't. Oh, and then she saw me still sitting in my seat mm-hmm. and grabbed a handful of my hair from the back of my head and tried to pull me to my feet, saying, get up and stand.
Are you serious?
It didn't hurt, but she was so on whatever she was on that it was behooved to pull me to my feet by my hair.
There wasn't even ecstasy in the 80s.
I know. Well.
What? That is so bizarre.
It was the strangest thing. And then she rubbed... the head of my friend who was with me too.
Another chick
got her hand all up in her hair.
See, I cannot stand these ecstasy lesbians. I can't deal with it. They will go for you in a quick second. I guess because you just, you know, you're a good looking lady, you're minding your own business, and they're like, this is my chance.
She was trying to hold my friend's hand during the ballads. Every rose has its thorn. It's like she's
was
like
she alone?
For, no, she was with a guy.
He was probably like, sweet.
Yeah, he was probably trying to pick up somebody for a threesome.
This is going to happen. At Rock of Ages is where your threesome is going to start. I don't think so, sir. Wow. I have the worst luck at concerts, too. I attract people who have Tourette's.
What?
Yes. Every time I go to a concert, there's someone sitting next to me who has Tourette's. It reminds me of when I was in fourth grade and my seat partner also had Tourette's. But then I didn't mind. Because I didn't give a shit what was going on in math class.
No, but in your Tourette's, with your Tourette's person, did they just have the speech tick where they would, the curse?
Yeah.
Or did they have the body movements as well?
Body movement, cursing. Plus, I don't even know if it was the Tourette's so much as the guy was shit-faced. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Tourette's, I'm like, fine, whatever, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Except when you're drinking wild turkey.
And
I'm trying to enjoy, you know, whatever it is, Star Wars, you know, concerts, everywhere I go.
Star Wars concerts?
No, I want to see a Star Wars movie.
Oh.
Star Trek.
Star.
And the guy sat next to me, flailing around, and then threw up.
Ew.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Nice, huh? But no one tried to make out with me. No, they haven't happened yet.
With the Tourette's, a man with Tourette's that I went to college with, he not only would yell whatever he would
expletives.
Yell. He would try to lick your shoulder if you were next to him.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're
That's
all playing
so
cards. We're playing cards, like, at a party, and I'm sitting next to him, and he just reached over and licked my shoulder, and I was like, I don't know if that's for real or not.
You should have put something on your shoulder, like a Jolly
popcorn.
Rancher's.
Yeah.
A piece of popcorn. Just lick on this, bud. Some hot pepper. See if it's real.
Yeah. And then I saw him do it at other. It was something.
That's
that was
bizarre.
Yeah.
The human body is, you know, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So apparently, when the pilgrims came here, the first voyage, they had 7,500 gallons of alcohol, including canary sack, which is a type of sherry, aqua vitae, which if you've ever had anything like that, it is actually just fire water, and fine wines. There were 102 pilgrims on the voyage. That's 73.5 gallons per person.
And they were the douchey ones who came to America.
Yeah,
they weren't cool. So it's alcohol and douchey people that are in basically
on a boat.
Basically one.
That was enough booze for each settler to consume 25.7 ounces a day for an entire year. Ironically, they landed at Plymouth Rock because they had run out of beer.
They had to stop at it.
It's just amazing to me.
Find a 7-Eleven? Yeah. Is that what they were
trying to do? It basically was. It was like, what's around here? Is there something open to stop it? What's going on? 24 hour? And then it said, they said, and I quote, "We could not take time for any further search. Our victuals had been spent, especially our beer." They were trying to get to New York, but couldn't make it. Had to stop at Plymouth. Does that sound familiar? You're trying to get to a party. You can't wait.
Yeah, you got to stop.
You got to stop and pre-party somewhere else.
Yeah, and that explains a lot of the people up in Massachusetts.
I feel bad for the Native Americans seeing these, like, drunk people overdressed. That's what always amazes me about settlers. You're European, fine. I understand that you're wearing, you know, heavy wool clothing and all this kind of stuff. When you get to a warmer climate, you need to go native.
You don't need
to look around and see everyone else around you is naked and tell them to put on clothes. You also need to disrobe. Why were they wearing that crazy stuff?
There's all kinds of reasons. There's a great book Sarah Vowell has called The Wordy Shipmates about the pilgrims and the...
they were nuts, weren't
the
they?
The Puritans that came by. There's a difference between the pilgrims and the Puritans, by the way. And
well, it's like the difference between a Presbyterian and a Catholic is a gin. One mixes like gin with ginger ale.
It goes
on.
She explains it very well. So if anyone is interested in learning more about that.
About our boozy ancestors.
I'm just plugging someone's book and she doesn't even know it.
I think that I want to check that book. I love stuff like this because, you know, when you're a kid, the American history is so, everything's so simplified. But it doesn't need to be because our history isn't that old and we have all this documentation. Like these guys documented everything.
Because it's easier to turn your head away and just be like, Thanksgiving is about thanks. Just
isn't it more fun to be like, Thanksgiving is about beer? Ladies and gentlemen, wouldn't that it's not about getting together with your family.
No.
It's about really running to someone else's village, stealing up all their corn, coming back home, getting loaded.
Yeah.
Possibly getting loaded before you go steal the corn.
And that's it.
And that's it.
Where it came from.
That's where it came from.
Now you have to sanctify it.
Booze. That's a holiday I can get behind. When I come over to the Casimir house, ransack it.
Yeah.
Right. For whatever victuals you have.
You should show up at my Thanksgiving.
With a bag. I'm going to wear a mask and a feather and just be like, hand it over. I got wampum. May not give it to you. I got squaws at home. People need to eat. Happy Thanksgiving.
I've got some advice on advice.
Okay, for Thanksgiving?
For Thanksgiving, yeah. A guy writes in, he said, "So here's the drama. I was working Thanksgiving, so I missed all the relatives at my house. I got home after...
A blessing.
I got home after they all left, and I found out that after dinner, they started talking about Black Friday deals. They decided to go online and check out stores' websites and use my laptop. Apparently..."
I'm guessing where this is going.
"Apparently, someone decided to do a little snooping and discovered porn. This, as most of the extended family was looking over his shoulder."
Can I pause you for why?
Sure.
They discovered porn?
Yeah.
As if for the first time?
Yeah. What is this?
What is that?
We shall call it porn.
Yes, we'll call it porn. I'm imagining, though, well, for people who use a lot of porn, if you go to their computers and you type in www.anything, mm-hmm. like www, like F, it's like feetandasses.com. Like seriously, someone who, go to a man's house who uses a lot of porn, who has discovered porn, type in anything and something will come up. Any letter of the alphabet.
Yeah. It's some kind of fetish, kind of thing.
With feet. Or butts.
Always feet.
Yeah.
"Okay. The family was looking over my shoulder, including my 90-year-old grandmother who uses a walker and has to carry around
an
oxygen tank.
And who clearly has never seen pornographic images.
Yes.
Even though back in her day, the stuff was spicy.
Yeah. It turns out the person doing the snooping was my creepy uncle that no one talks about. The black sheep that's probably in everyone's family.
And uses porn."
Yeah. "And he's the one that was able to detect the porn on
the
computer.
Yeah, to discover it. To unearth it.
So the question is, do I say nothing and hope time makes me feel less embarrassed? or confront my uncle for deciding to click on the triple X folder I made on my desktop to save all the pictures. He shouldn't have used my laptop anyway. Yeah. So yeah, any advice is appreciated.
This, I'm sorry, I didn't realize this moron was asking for advice. But what's your advice? What do you think he should do?
What I think he should do is, like, I think he should say nothing. I think he should just forget about it, because that's his own business.
First of all, it's his own business. And second of all, unless there was something weird on there, like livestock, mm-hmm. or, you know what I mean? There's nothing to be ashamed. I don't think there's anything to be ashamed.
Oh, yeah, that's part of it, too. Unless the porn you have is bestiality or some other freakish stuff, you have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, as long as there's people, no one's getting hurt. It doesn't violate any laws.
I would just say, everyone get out of my stuff. Like, and whoever opened up the laptop, you shouldn't be doing that.
I feel like naming a folder XXX is fair warning about what's going to be in there. Yeah. Like, should it have just, like, pictures of naked ladies?
Yeah, if XXX, it's not going to be a bunch of, like, bottles with, like, jug handles. With, yeah. Like...
and it's not going to be receipts. Yeah. Like, it's not going to be... I don't think you should do
anything.
Don't
leave your stuff out. I mean, like, just know. It's just, you know, families are just like little kids. They're going to get into everything.
Exactly. If
you
let them,
I mean, they're going to go through your medicine cabinets.
Exactly.
Go through your drawers. Go through whatever they have. You have to password protect your
And
computer.
I wonder, was anybody really surprised that there was pictures of pornography on someone's... I think looking through someone's laptop is like going into someone's closet.
Yeah.
If you grow into someone's closet, start climbing around, you go up at the top, you move a couple boxes around, and then you see like a Playboy from 1975. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Where else is he supposed to keep
And shame on you for looking.
Porn? Where are you going to put that now? You gonna have a separate porn viewer? Maybe we've got something there.
Yeah.
The Hey You Know It porn viewer. It could kind of be like a Kindle.
Yeah.
Or right. Just for porn. So in contrast to our bounty, the cornucopia of foods, the waste, the turkeys, the turduckins.
Turduckins,
the
right.
Tofurkey, what have you. I found this article in the BBC News about how they do it in England. Now, obviously, they don't have Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Theirs is more like good riddance. Probably. But it says here...
Good riddance to the troublemakers.
Yes, the troublemakers. And weird hats. toast sandwich is UK's cheapest meal.
Toast sandwich.
Now, when I saw this, I thought toast sandwich. What do you think of toast sandwich?
That is two pieces of toast together instead of one.
It's better than that. It is Britain's cheapest lunchtime meal. And it consists of two slices of bread.
Like I said.
Around a slice of toast. It's a toast sandwich. Exactly. I thought I was very clever, too. I originally thought toast sandwich, surely there's a bit of cheese in there.
No, there's not. Is there butter? So two pieces of, like, white bread and a piece of toast actually between them.
Yeah. It says here, you simply put a piece of dry toast between two slices of bread and butter with salt and pepper to taste. And this guy, the RSC's Dr. John Emsley, said, I've tried it, and it's surprisingly nice to eat and quite filling. Britain has the worst cuisine known. I would think people living in the dirt have a better meal that they can put together. It is a sandwich made of the filling is toast.
If one piece of bread doesn't fill you, of course three are going to.
But you toast one. I'm not sure why. Why not just eat the bread?
For the crunch. The crunch in between the softness.
Really?
You put the softness between the crunch.
You're trying to have a... this was taken from Mrs. Beaton's Book of Household Management, which was a bestseller after it appeared 150 years ago next month. To celebrate the anniversary of the book, the RSC decided to focus on meals that reflect stern days to come in Britain. British people, watch out. Your government is getting ready to push...
sternness.
Yeah, sternness and stiff upper lip in the form of a toast sandwich.
Yeah.
A toast sandwich. It is cheap. It says it costs... about 7.5 pence, which is about 11 cents for a meal. And
when you're talking about meals in terms of cents, you've got it like a financial problem.
The toast sandwich provides 330 calories, but you could opt for a healthier alternative, but using margarine instead of butter.
I don't think margarine is much more healthy than butter.
That's what they're saying. For 8p more, you can add an egg. For 19p, a
Where
can
do you put
of
the
sardines.
Egg?
I guess, I don't know.
You know, you already have that toast in
You've
your
got
mouth.
That toast and it's pretty full.
You're going to ruin the whole sandwich.
Listen, in the book, as well as recipes, the book contained advice on household management. I can't even imagine. I'm just imagining someone living in the dirt. It's like, dig a hole, get in it. Child care etiquette. Smack the shit out of your kids. Tell them to shut the fuck up. Give them a piece of toast sandwich. and entertaining. Square. I'm not going to this party, whatever it is. If I go to a British person's home and they attempt to offer me a toast sandwich, someone's going to get hurt and then someone's going to get sued. Probably me for I mean, that is the cheapest. And they have a contest for £200. You can win £200 if you can create a cheaper alternative to the toast sandwich. I say take out the toast. Just two pieces of bread. Yeah. Give me £200.
Salt and pepper, and that's it.
No salt, no pepper.
Oh.
Just two pieces of bread. That's your sandwich. Two pieces of bread and think about a piece of ham for free. All
right.
How crazy is that? So we're having Thanksgiving over. We'd be gorging ourselves. Meanwhile, they're trying to come up with an alternative to a toast sandwich.
We're frying turkeys here, which brings me to my thing. We're frying turkeys.
I saw that. I thought that was a joke.
No, yeah. People deep fry turkeys, and that's the number one cause of accidents because they drop a frozen turkey into boiling oil, and it shoots out like a flamethrower. And
wait, stop. A turkey is massive.
Yeah.
What are they dropping it into?
They get these giant deep fryers, and they try to do it. This is more a Midwest thing. This is
do they
not
stand
something...
over the hot boiling oil when they drop it in with their face close to it?
Probably.
And then wonder?
Yeah, it's always deep frying a turkey is the biggest reason for visits to the hospital.
I didn't even know you could. Why would you do that?
Yeah. Apparently, it makes the turkey very moist. But
also, does basting.
Yeah.
Basting
exactly.
Works. Learning how to cook a friggin' turkey.
Yeah. Helps exactly. As well.
Stuffing it with a duck and a chicken. Apparently helps also.
Yeah, but that's the number one visit for the emergency room.
Wow. And I'm technically from the South. I've never heard of deep fried turkey. When I was growing up, the only real meals we had, we'd go over to my uncle's house, and they would always say we're going to start at 4, but you know how we do.
Yeah.
7:30 rolls around. You're starving.
Yeah.
You're like, can I get a roll? Anything.
You
a
don't
pat
have
of butter.
Oh, then you don't have a Thanksgiving like we do.
No.
There are layers and layers
we're not
of appetizers.
Big no.
Oh.
We don't really do an appetizer. We can barely eat the whole meal. One turkey is cooked, and at the end, everyone leaves with a turkey.
Oh, no.
Like, there's so much food left over.
Loaves and fishes,
yeah,
right?
There's so much food that the roll. I mean, I'm a vegetarian, so I gorge myself on carbs.
Oh, no.
Rolls.
Oh, right, yeah.
Macaroni and cheese. Did I mention rolls? Like, I can eat rolls and macaroni and cheese.
And potatoes,
and
like mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes, and be very happy with that.
Yeah.
That, for me, is a very satisfying Thanksgiving.
Oh, no. We have so much food, and so we have second Thanksgiving the next day, so you can repeat the
How
whole
can
meal.
You move the next day? You yeah. just put it near you the night before, yeah. and they just roll over.
Yeah,
we
all, everyone puts it out on the table, and you make up a plate and microwave it, and that's it. And you just keep eating. And then, oh, yeah, and everybody goes home with things, too. So
yeah.
you have to have enough for the covered dishes, plus...
Now, do you guys do a potluck, or is generally one person?
One person does the most, and everyone kind of brings something.
I've never really done it, because my mom's idea of cooking, I think, involves a can opener and a can and a microwave. My mom is not a really big cook, but I can't, and I've done Thanksgiving. I did it a couple years ago, and we invited two friends of ours over, mm-hmm. and then a third friend came, who got so drunk that frightened the other two friends. That's the only thing I remember about that. It was actually quite funny. But we
and frightened. Why did he wield an
too
axe?
Too drunk. Just you know, have you ever slobbering? Seen someone just get like so drunk that you are amazed that they're standing, they're wavering around.
What'd you do with them?
We put them in a cab. Physically, put them
you didn't
in a cab.
On the couch?
No, we can't have that. This person needed to come home. You know what I mean? There's a certain point at which you need your own bed.
Yeah, it's
turkey
not.
Turkey freaks me out because I feel like it's one of those things that can kill you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. It can
I'm
make
like,
you very, very sick.
Why can't everyone just have a steak?
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Steaksgiving.
Steaksgiving.
Yeah.
I like it.
Thing.
This year we're going to watch a film after we eat called Thanksgiving. I don't know if you've heard about this.
No.
It's at the level of a trauma film, if you're familiar with those.
Oh, no.
And it's basically about an evil turkey.
Oh.
That terrorizes a group of wayward co-eds.
Good. Like they deserve.
Yes. But it's very low budget.
Is it a person dressed as a turkey?
No, it's actually, they've gotten some kind of like a Muppet type turkey. And apparently this turkey is
bad.
Foul.
Yes.
Sorry. I didn't even mean to say that. He let me just say, he takes advantage of one of the co-eds.
Get out. Ew.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
It's really funny.
Somebody with issues wrote that script.
It's very, we could have written that script. I mean, when you see it, I don't know. So if you abandon your Thanksgiving, you're free to come over for Lobster Fest, followed by B-movies.
Oh, that's right. Of sounds Thanksgiving. Good. I might have to take you
up. We also that. Have a case of hard apple cider.
Oh.
You hear that, ladies and gentlemen? All of a sudden, she's making plans. It's like hard apple cider. Hard cider that we hard bought it from an apple press in Connecticut.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, we actually went to an apple press. I'd never seen one before. Mm-hmm. And it was the old school mechanical kind. Like a child could have fallen in and been squashed. Nice. Like it was that dangerous.
That's exciting.
Yes, it was very exciting. And the cider was very hard.
Mm-hmm. And it did its job.
It does continue to do its job.
Yeah. This week in Jason Bateman.
Yeah, where we talk about our favorite celebrity that we don't love but like and we think is decent.
No, we don't. We're not sexually attracted to.
Not him. At all.
And we're not in love with him.
We're not. And I just found him on Twitter.
Did
you? I don't know what took me so long.
Oh, good.
He's got like 300,000 followers, something like that.
Yeah, 300,001.
And one, yeah. Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman. All right. As of today, which is, what are we, the 20th?
Yeah, the 20th.
20th of November, 2011, Jason Bateman and Olivia Wilde began filming a movie called The Longest Week in New York City.
It's Jason Bateman co-starring with Olivia Wilde, and then a third co-star is Olivia Wilde's giant-ass Tyra Banks-like forehead. Oh. She is insane.
She's very pretty, but the forehead is half her face.
She? Yeah. I can't stop looking at the forehead. I keep thinking she's going to be like, we come in peace. I saw her in Cowboys versus Aliens. I don't know if it's Botox, but she looked like the entire movie she was looking for something. Like she was searching for something. And that forehead, you could have shown the movie in the movie on her forehead. It was awful. She's weird. I know people are saying she's pretty. I'm not buying it.
You're not buying into the hype.
No, I just want to smack her on the forehead. Put on a bandana. Something. Anyway, so they're in town.
The movie is about a man who lives a life of leisure in his parents' prestigious Manhattan hotel. Mm-hmm. In the span of 1 week, he finds himself evicted, disinherited,
and in love. Yeah, that sounds great. Great. Thank you, Jason Bateman. That's not going to be trite.
This is the second movie he's filmed in New York in this fall, as they say.
If we weren't in the studio right now, we could run down there and make a nuisance of ourselves.
He's downtown by City Hall and Center Street and Chamber Street.
Wow. Cool.
We should really go down there. We should give him a message on Twitter and say, come and record with us.
We should streak by carrying a hate you know it signs. I'd be like, wow, those mademoiselles went for it.
I have a picture here of the parking permit for the film shoot.
Nice.
As proof
that he's downtown.
This is for reals, everyone.
People wrote in and were like, we've seen it.
Oh, that's right. We saw the sign.
We saw the sign. I'm like, great, thanks. It's not that interesting. You know how many fans are probably down there? None.
Yeah. They're trying to do it. They're trying to get a lot of interest for Jason Bateman, but little do they know that we're doing it for them.
Yeah, we're doing all the work over here, Bateman's people.
Come on our show.
Yeah. And then
talk to us and give us something real. That
our
we can...
fans all over the world, Fiji, Australia, Burbank, they're all here about it.
So that's this week in Jason Bateman.
Wow. You know what? If he's going to be down there this week, I might try to run by.
We should.
And see what's going on.
We really should.
We should bake him a cake and throw it at him or something.
Take a picture. And be like, what? And then I'll give a quote about it and be like, it's so gay to have cake in me.
I don't know why they want me a cake. They must think I'm gay.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And have a happy Thanksgiving.
A happy Thanksgiving to everyone. And if you're in New York City on the night before Thanksgiving, 8 p.m., come on down to the Bowery Poetry Club and you can see Jaquetta Sotmari and possibly Katie Kazmir live in Jaquetta Sotmari's production, Balls Out Comedy.
That's right.
$12 at the door, no drink minimum.
And no kids, please.
Yeah, none at all.
Hey podcast listeners, if you enjoy listening to Hey You Know It,
why not try the latest and greatest podcast from Australia, Talking Shit with Mark, Adam and Scotty.
With segments like Wifey's Bikini News, 10 Seconds with a Random Person and Mark's Crazy Questions. Also featuring the hilarious Comedy Gold with Adam.
And with special guests from time to time, check it out now at www.talkingshit.com. That's
T-A-L-K-E-N shit.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Well, eyes are shining.